fighting attack.
Today is definitely a very special day for all of us. Today we commemorate the glorious ascension of our beloved Lord and Savior. And I believe that for all those who have experienced God and who love Him, who believe His Word, who are familiar with the things of the plan of salvation, this is indeed the crowning glory of the work of redemption that God has done on earth in Christ. On this day, we will only touch briefly on God's plan for humanity. It is not possible to say everything that could be said, that should be said in 1 hour. But we can say this much today, that God has an eternal plan for humanity, that God became man in Christ, and in Him reconciled mankind to Himself, that He has broken down the middle wall of partition, the enmity, and has given us peace with Himself by grace. However, it is necessary that we accept what God has prepared for us. The greatest and most precious gift is of no use if it is not accepted. What God gives to humanity, what He bestows, must be accepted, must be received. And this happens when people simply believe and then through faith draw near to God and experience God. It is quite simply a matter of experiencing and living out the things that are promised in the Word of God, that they are not only reported and written in the Bible, but that they become divine reality in our personal lives. For example, when it is written, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life," then the word faith must be found in us, not as theory, but in practice, that we have an experience with God, where we come from traditional views to a personal living faith in Christ, in Christ as our personal Savior, as the one who came to save and bless. That is where it actually begins. And as already mentioned, when God reconciled mankind to Himself in Christ, the sacrifice was made. Namely, He gave His own life for the life of those who are to be with God forever. It is actually very simple. Human beings who live in time entered this world at some point, were born into the world, and at some point every human being must leave again. The only question is, where do they go when they leave. There really is, and please believe me, there is a going upwards and there is a going downwards. There is going without God and going with God. There is a departure from this world as a child of God, as a person who has consciously accepted reconciliation, and there is a departure from this world without God. And there is the wonderful word in Romans 14, verse 7, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. But it must have come true in our lives. It is not enough for Paul to describe his conversion story and for us to talk about what happened. Each of us must have a personal conversion story as a testimony and be able to share it. Not only what happened back then, it must happen today. It must happen with you, with me, with us. And I have resolved, since I was 18 years old and felt the call to preach the Word of God, to preach in such a way that I can stand before the Almighty on the day of judgment, before the people who have heard the word from my mouth. I am not here to condemn, but neither am I here to say we will all go to heaven. There is a way that leads to life, and there is a way that leads to damnation. Matthew chapter 7. Our Lord said, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. People need to be told this, no matter what. We may have been born into the best family, the best religious fellowship. We may have the best father, the best mother, the best home, the best upbringing. We may be the best children and fathers and mothers and everything there is on earth. We have not hurt anyone, stolen from anyone, or done anything else. And then we might think that God must be pleased with us, because after all, we have not done any of those things. But the fact is, dear friends, that we were born into this world, separated from God. Our parents too, since Adam, all human beings have been born into this world, separated from God. And that is why redemption has become necessary to reconcile mankind, which is separated from God and has strayed, to remove the separation and to give us, who have temporal life, eternal life. That is why Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. And then he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. He spoke of eternal life. We have the other life without him. we have received it quite naturally. When he speaks of life, we can read about it in the first letter of John. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. John chapter 1. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And again in John 1, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. These are all very important statements that must touch our hearts. And then comes the divine must. There's only one divine must, and it is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Today is Ascension Day, but it would not be right before God if we only spoke about Christ's ascension and did not make preparations so that we too may ascend to heaven when our hour comes, when the Lord returns to take his own to himself. And then there will be two realities, one very lovely and one bitterly disappointing. In the Gospel of John, actually in all the Gospels, and then especially in the Gospel of Matthew, there is talk of the Lord's return. In John 14, our Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So says our Lord. And then he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. But to show the comparison, in the Gospel of Matthew, we are told what will happen at the return of the Lord. There shall be two in one bed. One will be taken up, the other will be left behind. Two will be working in the field. One will be taken, the other will be left behind. Two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other will be left behind. Today, it is written this way. Tomorrow, it may already be history that one has been taken and the other left behind. In the true proclamation of the Word of God, before the true God, it is fitting that we point out with all seriousness, but in love, but in all seriousness, that there are precisely these two possibilities, and that they will also come to pass at the hour when the Lord returns. And that is why we are told again and again that we should prepare ourselves to meet the Lord. You can read Luke 21. It says, when you see all these things, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. We cannot go into the signs of the end times today. But please believe me, I would not say it if it could not and should not be said on the basis of the Word of God. We are now living very close to the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The signs of the times speak so clearly that all who are now living and reading the Bible can recognize, based on the events, that we are close to the return of the Lord. Coming back to John chapter 3, ye must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. God is Spirit. So we read in John 4, verse 24. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. God is not an old grandfather who can be told what to do. One must come to God sincerely and honestly, and one must walk the path to Him that He has walked to us. And this brings us to the core of our proclamation. There is indeed only one personal revelation of God on earth for our salvation, and that happened in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that is why He could say, He that has seen Me has seen the Father. I and the Father are one. And He could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection. You all know the sayings of our Lord. Christ did not come to establish a beautiful religion. We have already emphasized this. He came to redeem us, shed His blood and gave His life so that we might find salvation. And He came to give us divine, eternal life by grace. And only those who have received eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, through a very personal experience, can live forever. Those who do not receive eternal life here on earth will never have it. For when we depart from this life, our decision is final. Those who leave this world without eternal life will be without eternal life. God has given man this life to make the right decision, to become a believer, to accept salvation and grace. But when man leaves this earth, the clock has run out and time is over. It is not eternity that should be used for salvation, but time. Eternity should be used to be with the Lord. Today, I was thinking about what a privilege our brothers and sisters had who lived on earth at the time of Jesus Christ, who heard Him, saw Him, witnessed Him, making the blind see, cleansing the lepers, calming the storm, multiplying the bread, majestically revealing His divine power and glory. And yet we know that not everyone was able to believe. Only those who put aside their criticism, who came to Him with an open heart, not to find fault, but to truly have an experience with the Lord. What could be more important today There is nothing more important than for everyone today to consciously have an encounter with God the Lord. Now you may say, but he ascended into heaven, and that is a great distance away. We believe what God's word says. God is omnipresent. God is in heaven. God is on earth. God fills the entire universe. And God is present wherever his word is preached. There you can hear him. There you can experience him. There is salvation, deliverance, healing. There is grace that God bestows upon those who come to him. As far as the resurrection and especially the ascension are concerned, when we consider the matter, it is something truly wonderful. Someone is born into this world like everyone else, with a difference that there was no earthly human conception, but that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and it was said, the one born of thee is of the Holy Ghost and will be called the Son of God. And so our Lord, as the Son of God, had power over death, because he took on a human body for our sake. He had to suffer and die so that we might be redeemed from death. He died in the flesh, but was raised in the spirit, and his body was transformed, and then he ascended into heaven. I would like to read a few scriptures, and I ask you to rejoice with me, to rejoice with all those who can believe that God not only offered his grace to the world, but also showed mercy before justice. From Ephesians chapter 4, I'll read just a few scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that has descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Here much is said to us in a few words. Our Savior was crucified and, according to Scripture, descended into hell because he had to defeat death, the devil, defeat everything. He had to descend to redeem those who were held captive by the power of death. Therefore, it was necessary that death, the devil, hell, that everything be conquered. And here God's word tells us, he who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Redemption has been accomplished in a perfect way on God's part. We are redeemed. Death is overcome. Hell is defeated. Satan is disempowered. For thus it is written, that God disarmed the powers of the enemy in Christ and triumphed over them. It is finished. It is done. I now read from the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1, from verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. What a wonderful testimony. These were not journalists who made up some story. These were eyewitnesses and ear witnesses to what was happening, and specifically witnesses who saw our Lord crucified, buried, resurrected, spending 40 days with them after the resurrection, and then being lifted up into heaven before their very eyes. I would like to proclaim a hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God, our Lord, who after accomplishing redemption, after defeating Satan, death and hell, rose again on the third day, as we can all read in the Gospels, and then in Revelation, specifically in chapter 1, when John was on the Isle of Patmos, the Lord appeared to him in all his majesty and said, I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. These are not empty words. This is divine reality. There are not two almighty ones. There is only one almighty one, and that is God the Lord, who created heaven and earth. Satan's power only extends as far as we allow it to, and as God permits it. The day will soon come when all enemies will be made the footstool of our Lord, and he will triumph over all. I read again, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. What a majestic moment that must have been. The same Lord with whom they ate and drank, whom they saw tired, who slept, who was found in fashion as a man, for the sake of mankind, is here in majesty and glory before his own, and is taken up before their eyes into the glory of heaven. Verse 10, And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now it may be that some sincere critics, and that is fine with us, ask the question, where is his return? After all, almost 2,000 years have passed since this was said and written. Look, beloved, God, who is eternal himself, has a timetable. And with God, as it says in the Old and New Testament, one day is like 1,000 years for us. God created the world in 6 days, finished his work on the 7th day, and rested from all that he had done. Roughly speaking, we have 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. We have another 2,000 years from Abraham to Christ. And we are now approaching the third 2,000 years, and then 6,000 years will be complete. And the 7th millennium will be, as it is written in Revelation 20, the millennial kingdom. The Bible does not only contain stories, it gives us insight into the thoughts of God, which are higher than our thoughts. In the Holy Scriptures, we find the entire history of the plan of salvation written in advance, like a red thread running through it. People always write history after the events are behind us, that is, after they have happened. God has written the entire history in advance, and those who are well versed in the Bible already know about the last judgment, about the white throne, as written in Revelation 20 verse 11 and Revelation 21, about the new heaven and the new earth, that is, about the moment when time will merge back into eternity. And I really ask you to take this from the hand of God. When people read the Bible without having a personal relationship with him and his word, it can be very uninteresting and boring, I admit. But when a person is born again, carries divine life within them, and the Holy Spirit rests upon them, as he rested upon prophets and apostles, then such a person has direct access, insight, and a share in the Word and in everything that God does. And another thought came to me. We are living now. And if we are true children of God, then we will now have a share in what God is doing in our day, just as those had a share in what God did in other times. And I'm quite honest about this. I want to have a conscious share in what God is doing. Before that can happen, we need to know about the promises God has given in his word, and also about the things he has announced for our days. From Luke 24, I read verses 50 and 51. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. As I said earlier, on this day we remember the ascension of our beloved Lord and Savior. Luke also tells us how this happened. And once, when I was in Jerusalem, I deliberately walked down the Mount of Olives to Bethany to connect with this scripture from the point where the Lord ascended into heaven. A place may not mean much to us today, but if we have living faith in our hearts, and I hope that no one doubts God and God's word, if someone questions my word, that would mean they do not believe what I have said, and ultimately that would be tantamount to calling me a liar. God does not allow anyone to make him a liar. God is truthful. But whoever does not believe God, as it says in the Epistle of John, makes him a liar. Whoever does not believe me makes me a liar. Whoever does not believe you makes you a liar. Whoever does not believe God makes him a liar. But God is the truth itself. He not only speaks the truth, he is the truth. His word is the truth. Do you all believe this? I believe it with all my heart. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will remain forever. And look, the things that were announced throughout the Old Testament, for example, the Ascension, which can be read in Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 19. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. You gave gifts unto men. And so on. Everything that happened to Christ in the New Testament, everything that happened with him was foretold in the Old Testament and has been literally fulfilled. So it is not only truth as the written word, but truth as a living, fulfilled reality before our eyes. And that is why our Lord said, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. He is He. He is the great I Am. He came for our sake. He came to this earth so that we might go to Him into glory. And, dear friends, this too must be said here in love, but insistently. As has already been emphasized, it is not enough to know that others have experienced it and that it is written. We must personally experience what is written. When Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Yes, fine, that happened to Paul. But what about you? What about me? Are you crucified with Christ? Have you died with him, been buried with him, risen with him? Is there divine new life in you? That is the question. Not just reading, but experiencing what God has promised. I will read to you the really appropriate passage from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. And now it comes. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What a testimony! Is it your personal testimony? Or was it only that of Peter and a few believers of that time? Can you also say from your heart, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has made me born again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He is risen, and new divine life has been revealed through him. Death and the shedding of blood have to do with reconciliation, with forgiveness, with the grace that God has given to humanity in Christ. But then, through the resurrection, God has shown that death has been overcome, hell has been defeated. God gives his eternal life to all those who have become the property of Jesus Christ. And this does not happen by joining a religious fellowship. I am a missionary. I don't know if you know that. You don't always have to shout it from the rooftops. But in any case, I have been to over 100 countries. I have seen the world from all sides. I have seen other religions. I have witnessed how zealous they all are and how they fall down, how they pray, cry out, fast, mortify themselves, and everything else that is done. I have really seen a great deal. I have also witnessed how people change religions because they then think they have found the right one. Dear friends, in our country we have two national churches, as is well known. We also have various denominations, and we have other religious fellowships, whether larger or smaller, older or younger. But this may be said here. There is no church or denomination, nor any fellowship that can bring salvation, that can grant salvation. There is only one from whom salvation comes, namely from the one who brought it to us. And there is in no other salvation, and there is none other name under heaven given unto men, whereby they can be saved, except the name of Jesus Christ. And so Peter preached on that Pentecost day and immediately afterwards. And that is how we preach today. We are not an organized denomination that one can join. We try to show others the way, because it has been shown to us. We want others to come to faith, because we came to faith by grace. We want others to be saved, because we have been saved. We want others to receive eternal life, because we have received eternal life. The list could go on. Can we sleep peacefully, knowing that every day, perhaps not millions, but many, pass from time into eternity without having eternal life? I imagine that moment to be terrible, and I once witnessed it on the 31st of December 1980, when I returned from Africa with Malaria Tropica in its most advanced stage and was admitted to hospital without knowing what was happening. I was no longer there. I could no longer speak. It was very advanced. And if God had not intervened, I would not be here today. I would be in eternity. But when they wheeled me into the death room, where there's only a curtain on the right and left, you feel a little different. I couldn't speak because I had no strength, but I could still think. And only one thought came to me, which I actually wanted to express, but I couldn't anymore. And the thought was, Lord, how do I stand before you? Next to me, a man was struggling with death in the last minutes of his life. The words that came from his lips cannot be repeated here or anywhere else. It was a desperate, terrible death struggle that I witnessed there. I am not saying this for my own sake, and certainly not to boast. I am saying it for the sake of truth. I had peace with God at that moment. Not the slightest uneasiness took hold of me. On the contrary, I say this with the Bible open before me. There was bliss in my heart. Not a spark of fear. On the contrary, I was aware that I was now allowed to go to my Lord, whom I loved and served. These were moments of bliss. And when I was then, some of you have read my testimony, taken out of my body, and saw the crowd dressed in white being lifted up to heaven majestically. And when I then returned into my body, I wept bitterly with disappointment that I was not allowed to go to the Lord. I do not want to talk about it any further. I just wanted to express one thing. We may all master life. We may have the money that makes life pleasant and all the things that go with it, the right level of education and whatever else there may be. Friends, mastering life is one thing, and then being mastered by death at the end of life is quite another. I suggest that all people who have love for themselves accept the divine love that has come to them in Christ and understand, for God so loved the world, and in this divine love accept the hand of reconciliation and redemption in Christ, and thus consciously become children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, passing from death into life, for this is what God wants. I will read it to you from Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. What a powerful word! He will not, He has. I will read it again. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, and so on. Once again, we come to the point. It is not enough that it is written here that He has delivered us from the power of darkness. You must now personally accept the matter of God, and based on an experience with the Lord, be able to say with conviction, He has delivered me from the power of darkness and transferred me into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Dear friends, it is really true. We can still experience God. God can be experienced. This is not about philosophy and theory. This is about the fact that the same gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached today as in the beginning, and that people today can experience God and be delivered from the power of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. I have experienced it personally and can say that conversion is so beautiful that one could actually experience it every day. I do not know if there has been a second day in my life with such heartfelt, God-given deep joy combined with bliss and gratitude as on the day when I shed a few tears and sought the Lord in prayer, begging Him for forgiveness. And what can I say to you? After a time of searching and praying and weeping, asking for forgiveness and so on, what the Lord said came to pass. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And He says, those who seek Me with all their heart will find Me. The tears stopped. The searching led to finding. The lostness to being saved. A glorious day. And then came peace. Peace that surpasses all human understanding. And then with peace came joy. With joy came the certainty of salvation. As Paul writes to the Romans, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This is an experience, and every person must have such an experience with God. Everyone must experience their own personal conversion, and then the new birth follows. Conversion is the part of man towards God. Man turns It is a turning around, a conversion, a turning to God, and a new birth is what God does in the person who has turned to God, who is converted. As I said, we carry out our conversion through God's Spirit, and then God carries out the new birth in us, who have converted to Him. And then, of course, there are all the other experiences that are also written in the Word of God. Let us summarize what God's purpose is for humanity, and also what this day, namely the ascension of Christ, means for us. Just like the resurrection, like Good Friday, like Easter Sunday, the ascension, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, these are all things in the plan of salvation that were necessary for our redemption and bliss. If Christ had not risen, there would be no resurrection for us. He is the resurrection and the life. If He had not ascended into heaven, how could you and I ascend into heaven? He paved the way, made it possible. On Golgotha, the great day of reconciliation between God and humanity. And that is why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, from verse 19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, and then exclaims, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You may believe it or not, but today God speaks through my mouth. That is how it is. Tomorrow He may speak through yours, or a little later He may use your mouth to say a few words to someone that may serve to bring that person unto the path of salvation. But at this moment, it is truly God's word that is being spoken to us. It is not my word or the word of another person. It is indeed God's eternal word. And that word is now being spoken to us. We have briefly proclaimed the full gospel, namely that God in Christ reconciled mankind to Himself, that He forgave our iniquity, covered our sins, and no longer remembers all the things that separated us from Him. Through Christ, He sees us as reconciled to Him, as people whom He has pardoned, people who have experienced conversion, not conversion to another faith, but conversion to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Perhaps one more thought. People often ask why we proclaim Christ in this way, why we place Him so centrally. God has already done so. For there is only one place where God meets humanity, and that is not in Jerusalem or anywhere else, but in Christ. For God was in Christ, and there is only one place where humanity can encounter God, and that is also in Christ. And that is why anyone who wants to come to God must follow the way that leads to God, and that way is Jesus Christ. We must put things in the right order and context in order to give people the opportunity to experience God. After Golgotha, as we all know, The body of our Lord was laid in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. The stone was sealed so that no one could come and take the body. I do not know what I would have wanted to do with a body. We do not need a dead Jesus. We need the one of whom it was said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." That is a divine fact. Then there were the 40 days on earth, where he taught his disciples about the kingdom of God. And then the glorious day we celebrate today, the ascension of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then the announcement of the two angels, "This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." There are people, I met one of them last Sunday, just a few days ago, in London, who told me that Christ had already returned. I had to say to him, "As long as I am still on earth, the Lord has not come. When he comes, I will go. Amen. For thus it is written, that he will come again, and that the dead in Christ will rise first, and that we who are alive and remain will be changed, and together we will be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. The Lord is not coming to this earth. We will meet him in the air, and then we will be with the Lord forever." And then he came with scriptures and wanted to say, "But he is standing at the door and knocking. He has now come as the bridegroom with gifts for his bride." I say, "You are coming rather late. He came with gifts on the day of Pentecost. What have you read? The same one who descended is the same one who ascended. For it is written, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." When did he give gifts? On the day of Pentecost. He poured out all the gifts of the Holy Spirit into the New Testament church. The scripture still applies that it must be rightly divided. It must be rightly divided at all costs. Just as Christ truly and bodily ascended into heaven, so he will truly and bodily return, and we will be truly and bodily transformed. And with all those who have gone before us, we will be truly and bodily taken up. Is that true or not? Absolutely. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. "It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Not a doctrine or a revelation. We shall see him as he is. And then we shall see that we have become like him. I am very grateful to the Lord for his clear word. If anyone is unclear, then it is their own fault. Then they have wanted to bring their own thinking into the word of the Lord. And that is not possible. One should always leave the Holy Scriptures as they are written, and also believe from the heart what the Scriptures say in every way. Today is the day on which we commemorate the ascension of Christ in a special way. And we have read the texts, whether it be Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, or Luke 24, the last verses. this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Not some self-made doctrine or revelation pulled out of thin air. He will return with great power and glory. It will be an event, an experience, and not a doctrine that has to do with petty matters. We are grateful to the Lord God for the finished work of redemption, for eternal life. Finally, I would like to emphasize and highlight once again those who have not yet been reconciled with God, accept reconciliation today. Those who have not yet experienced conversion, experience it today. Those who do not yet know or have the certainty that they have become children of God, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. We are still living in the time of grace. How long? No one knows. Tomorrow belongs to none of us. When it comes, it is grace. We do not know when the Lord will call us. An evangelist once said in a large gathering, God speaks only of today. The enemy speaks of tomorrow. He says, not today, another time, and so on. And then he looks for so many ways out and excuses to keep people from coming today, namely when the word is spoken, when God calls. I ask you, when should we come? When God calls. Is it true? When God calls, we must come. Not when He does not call, but when He calls. And that is why the admonishing word, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Many have thanked God that they heard His call and obeyed Him. Today, God speaks to us. Today, He calls you. He does not rebuke you. He does not reproach you. People often reproach, you did this and that wrong. God does not reproach you at all. He saw you and me. He saw us in our helplessness. He knew that we are incompetent. He saved us just as we are. He does not want you to improve yourself and then be saved. Do not even begin to do so. Let yourself be saved and let it be today. Take Jesus Christ into your heart today as your personal Savior into your life and say, Lord, I too want to be with you for eternity. I too want eternal life. I too want to become a child of God. Lord, save me today. Forgive me. Transfer me today from the power of darkness, in which we all are by nature, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Christ's ascension is the guarantee of your and my ascension. He ascended to prepare a place for us, and He will come again to take us home so that we may be where He is. And He is true. He gave the promise at the end of the time of grace, and the end is near. This promise will also become history. It will happen very soon. As I said in my introduction and quoted the word, then two shall be in one bed, two shall be in one field, two shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and one shall be left behind. Those who are ready will enter the marriage supper with the bridegroom of our souls, while the others remain outside. And please, do not be angry with God, but it is written, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth outside. No more salvation, no more forgiveness, no more mercy, no more grace. The door will be closed forever. And we can all vividly imagine that despair of the highest degree will take hold of humanity. Dear friends, the proclamation of the gospel is a very serious matter. There is nothing more serious than the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Humanity must be told that we are all lost by nature, and that there is only one salvation, and that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it happened on the cross of Calvary. There the Lord spread out his arms on the cross. Before that, he had cried out, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest unto your souls." Today, we celebrate Christ's ascension. He who was born into this world, who suffered and died for us, who was crucified, buried, and rose again on the third day, who walked on earth for 40 days, has ascended into heaven. He will come again, as God's word tells us, to take us home. Will you be there? Amen.